I've said many times in life, and I was thinking last night, I probably watched the news more on a Saturday than I have maybe my whole life. Maybe a lot of you did as well, I don't know. But I thought last night that I would hate, and I just put it that way, I would hate to be going through this, or for that matter, anything else in my life without God. And I feel sorry, to be honest with you. I feel sorry for the people across the world who obviously are panicking, scared of something you can't see. I told Montel last night, it almost feels like we're in ancient Egypt and the death cloud is creeping across the world. And I mean that. I mean, it's something you can't see, you can't, and we all understand that. But I was watching some young woman as she was making jokes and, you know, trying to deal with it in her own way. And that's, you know, that's fine. Everybody has to. But I told Montel that I was familiar with this newscaster, and I said, I don't think she is a believer, and I'm pretty sure that she is not. And one of the jokes that she cracked was about her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'll let it go with that. And that's in particular when I just thought, I would hate to be you having to go through this without God. I began to think of a number of things that Jesus has to say, and oddly enough, our theme this year, at the feet of Jesus. I want you to turn with me to John chapter 16. I thought about what that Passover day must have been like for the disciples. It had been a heated week. It had been a strange week. It began 5 days earlier in total glory. Their master they had followed around was being crowned and honored as king, coronated as the Messiah. People were doing everything they could to, you know, Palm Sunday remembers that, but to honor him as such. And to be one of his closest followers, what that must have been like. Wow, we're in the inner circle. We're right there with him. We're one of the ones who maybe will be on the right hand and the left hand in this new kingdom. They even fought and argued about that on Passover day. But things began to escalate quickly. Maybe kind of like we're going through right now. Where you almost have to remind yourself, maybe it was just 3, 4 days, a week ago when everything seemed completely different. And as the day unfolded and different events happened, even at the Passover meal, and they happened quickly, all of a sudden Judas is running out and no one understands what's going on there. And then Jesus begins to say strange things. And they're obviously upset. You know, someone's going to betray me. Is who? You mean one of us? Me? What are you talking about? And then Jesus begins to speak to them, and it starts in chapter 13, and I'm obviously not going to read through all of this. But he says very encouraging things to them. He does tell them he's going away. They don't understand that. And I'm sure it's scary. It's troubling for them. And as he continues to speak, he finally comes to a point in chapter 16, and that's what I want to focus on, right before he prays. And you see that in chapter 17. But if you'll look with me at John 16, and I need to turn a page back here, but if you look at John 16, go down to verse 31, and Jesus repeats something that he had done earlier, maybe a couple of years before. In another crisis time, another time when they were very troubled, very upset, and he appeared to handle it with just total calm. Remember the ship out on the Sea of Galilee and the storm, and he's sleeping. And Master, don't you care that we perish? Well, here, He closes out this longest of speeches, discourses that we find from him. And if you'll drop down to verse 31, he says this to his disciples. Do you now believe? I thought about that question, and I thought about it a lot, especially yesterday. Do you believe? Yeah, I believe. Am I troubled? Yeah. Am I scared? Yeah. Am I nervous about what's going on? Yes. For myself? Yeah. But I think even more so for people that I love, the people closest to me. I'm nervous, I'm scared, but do I believe? Yes. And I would hate to be in any situation like this and not believe. James led us in this song that this congregation loves to sing. Montel and I, we started singing it. She might have before, but I did at Florida College years ago. It was written by a scientist who happened to be a Christian. And he believed. It's a song that reminds you, our God is alive and I believe. So do you now believe? Notice as he goes on here. Behold, the hour comes, he says. Yes, it's come right now. That you shall be scattered, every man to his own. That's what it kind of feels like right now. Because as much as you'd like to, and as much as I would like to take my family and just hug them in, rein them in, and protect them from everything bad in the world, this included, I can't. And what I've got to do is trust God. So he said, you're going to be scattered, every one of you. And I know what he means there. They're going to literally scatter that night when they come to arrest him. But listen to the language. You'll leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone. Because the Father is with me. And that's the point, isn't it? I woke up some time during the middle of the night, I'm not sure what time it was, somewhere around 4 o'clock probably. And I was still thinking about this passage and thinking about what Jesus says here and thinking about how alone that I felt. Obviously, it's comforting for Montel to be sitting in there with me and us to be talking. Jules came by yesterday. That's very comforting. But in the middle of the night, sometimes you feel very alone. Yet I'm not alone. My Father is with me. Then Jesus says something very strange, something that I'm not sure the world understands or ever will. And sometimes as Christians, it's hard to understand why God says the things he does when he does. But in verse 33, he said, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, literally trouble. You're going to have trouble as long as you're in this world, and that's the nature of it. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It's the same thing he said back in Matthew 14, for example, when they were out on the sea and the storm was hitting, Master, the tempest is raging. Carest thou not that we perish? Be of good cheer. It's a strange word that's used. It's a strange phrase. It's always only used, interestingly enough, in the imperative. In other words, it's only commanded. And you see Jesus use it, and he uses it several times. And here's what it means. You're going to have trouble. You got trouble right now. You're going to be scattered tonight, and you're going to be alone, and I'm going to be alone. Be of good cheer. The word means be bolstered. Some of your translations will say take courage. It literally is a word that means be warmed and filled with confidence from inside. Draw upon something that's inside you. Well, what is that? It's confidence that I have a God and He's in control. Am I going to be scared? Yeah. Am I going to be nervous? Yes. Am I going to be human? Yes. He's going to go out into the garden right after this, remember, and He is going to agonize and pray and ask that He doesn't have to go through what He's got to go through. He's human. I'm human. I'm going through it. But He is going to get up out of that garden knowing that He has His Father. And His Father is going to bring Him through this, and He will be okay. Be of good cheer. And if he can think about that and rely upon that, that reliance upon God, that reliance upon the knowledge he has, what he's lived for, what he believes in, is going to sustain him. And he can be at peace. Do you or I know what's going to happen? We don't. We can say, what do you think? And I'm sure that question has been asked millions of times in the last few days. What do you think? Well, I can tell you what I think. I can quote statistics to you like everybody else. I can tell you how little or great I think this thing is going to be. And does any of that matter? No. There's only one being, one person who knows the truth of all this. He knows how bad it is or not. He knows the end results of it. There's only one. And he's my God and my Father. And I trust him. Amen. Be of good cheer. It's almost like if I were a disciple and he's just told me you're going to be scattered and run, you know, we would say today, you're going to run out of your mind with fear. It's almost like you want to look back at him and say, then how in the world can you tell me be of good cheer? And what God is telling each of us is to have the peace that comes from knowing he is your God. This is what you live your life as a Christian for. In the trenches, you make decisions. I'll either do this or I won't do that. Sometimes you give up things that you'd rather do because it's not right. Sometimes you do things you don't want to do because it is right. You live the life the best you can. You ask, as Ed asked for us earlier, for forgiveness for when you do wrong and for help to do better. And you live your life like that because you want God. And the truth is, you need him. I would hate to be going through this without God. I would hate to be that alone. Sometimes I try to think back to what it felt like at 15 years old to be that alone. And it's hard. But fortunately, I don't have to. I trust my God, and I know my God will be with me no matter what. Maybe you're here today, and you don't have that confidence. The wonderful mercy of God is that you can. I'm not saying that God sent coronavirus to scare everybody into being a Christian. I'm not going to say that. But one thing that I do think is a blessing of all of this is that it does make you think. It makes you reassess. It makes you say, am I right with my God should the worst happen? And if I'm not, rely upon his mercy. Even in this ordeal at the end of Jesus' life, he showed so much mercy. If you believe in Jesus, and you'll confess that he is the Son of God. If you'll repent, change your life, be baptized, your sins will be washed away. If there's something in your life that's not right, and you want to ask for us to pray together with you, there's anything more important that we can do right now than pray for one another. Please come while we stand and sing.